following material was performed under extreme mental duress and lack of prescribed medication.
You know, there's a lot more to comedy than what you hear on the stage.
I like the idea of comedy at night. Rule number one, attack the audience verbally.
You know, my friends laughed when I started doing comedy, and nobody's laughing now.
I emptied my case. They didn't boo me or anything. It's just every time I came out from behind the case, another 10 people had left. Man, I was ready to hang myself. I'm not kidding, man. I measured the light cord in the room and everything.
It's The Green Room, a program by comics, with comics, where we talk about everything. And it's starting right now. Hey, everybody, you've made it once again. It's The Green Room. I'm Vilmos, your host. Thank you very much for listening, especially those of you that do it on Stitcher. We appreciate that. If you want to know more, go to the website. It's greenroomradio.net. That has all the ways to get the show right there. A guy has a lot of friends in comedy, but he doesn't have a lot of good friends in comedy. I guess maybe you have a few here and there. And this is one of my best friends in comedy and a good friend outside of comedy, too, I'd like to think. I've known him almost ever since I started. Here he is, folks, Daryl Rhodes.
How we doing, sir?
Gosh, it's so nice to talk to you. And it's really nice part of it is that we're both somewhere that's not in a hotel room in Nebraska.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and touch base on this.
We're going to get to that in a little bit, folks. I actually got to go out on a tour with Daryl, which was, well, let me just say that Daryl went and Daryl's always been an innovator. And we've hit on a new formula. That's all I'm saying. But we'll get to that. I want to talk about your Facebook account first, honest to God.
Yes, sir.
Folks, you can find Daryl on Facebook. Just type in Daryl Rhodes. It's Daryl, and Rhodes is Rhoades.
Yes, sir.
And you're like kicking ass on the Facebook thing. Lots of people, lots of activity. What's the big secret for you?
Well, I have kind of a history as far as with bands and stuff, and I play with a lot of different musicians, and I'm getting a lot of hits on that, but also with comedy. I've been doing it for a little over 20 years while still doing some music stuff. So I'm starting to get a lot of people who, in towns that I've played and stuff, and they're starting to find me on Facebook. And, in fact, my new thing now is getting rid of friends. because I'm trying to step up my game. On podcasts, you can just talk however you talk, right? I mean, you say whatever you can say. There's no limit. Is that correct? Okay. Because, I don't work blue or anything. But it's just that I just started realizing that the more people you get, more friends, in quote unquote, that you get, the more assholes you get. The ratio is incredible. So I'm now trying to see how many assholes I can get of. And it doesn't take much to become an asshole.
How is this happening that you're getting? I mean, what kind of things do you consider assholish behavior?
Well, when people come on and they're insulting and with a subject that you're not even talking about, I'll usually come back and go, like, there's one guy yesterday, I was talking about something, and he wanted to drag politics into it. It had nothing to do with what we were talking about. So I said, his name was Bruce, and I said, Bruce, grab the rope, I'll pull you in. and I thought, okay, if this guy comes back with one more smart-ass thing, because all I'm trying to do is just stay on topic. And I realize that, comedians especially have ADD. Most of them have the problem there. So you have to really paint something bright and shiny and hold it in front of them. You think audiences are bad. I think comedians are worse. So they get really unfocused very quickly, so you have to try to make them focus. So I'm just trying to get people who actually know how to stay on a line, can walk right down a straight line
yeah.
and get to the other side without falling over.
Well, and so did you, do you just ban them and not send them any kind of message telling them they're banned?
I don't send them a message. I figure they'll figure it out when they don't see me anymore. It's like if the phone ain't ringing, it's me not calling,
Sure. Now, have you gotten any feedback from somebody who got pissed off because they got knocked off your page?
Oh yeah, there was a woman in Korea South Korea, and she kept ranting about the United States and how it sucked. And I said, well, you're over there. You should be happy. And then she kept on and kept on, and then I can't remember what it was I said that prompted her. Oh, I know what it was. I put on Facebook. I always put these little teasers out there for people to talk about. And I said that the United States does not have an immigration problem. It has an assimilation problem. And all I meant by that was that if you come into this country, why wouldn't you want to get to know what we have to offer? Just like when I go, I have a house in Mexico, I go down there and I try to assimilate myself into Mexican society. I want to know. I want to learn. I want to grow. So when you come into this country, why do you have a Mexican neighborhood and a Chinese neighborhood? I understand that people want to be comfortable. Black people want to be with black people and white want to be with white. But I don't like it, and I want people to assimilate so they can kind of get to know each other, because that's what causes a lot of hate and fear, is people being ignorant of other people's society. I hate to get into this heavy thing, but that's how I feel. And so I put we have an assimilation problem. The next thing I know, this woman's calling me a racist.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, if you're going to screw with me, it's like, okay. And I said, well, then go out and buy something with batteries and satisfy yourself. And then she said I was a sexist. And then she told me that if I ever contacted her again on Facebook, that she would report me. And I wrote her a little thing, and I said, I never contacted you to begin with. You're the one that contacted me.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine what it's like to walk around with whatever you've got in your head. And boy, that pissed her off even more.
Uh-huh.
So that was the last time I had anybody really angry. And I had another friend of mine who's a great photographer, and everything is a conspiracy, and everything, he's a right-wing nut. And I lean toward the left, moderate to left, but I have a lot of right-wing friends, you know, and
uh-huh.
we just agreed, you know, not to talk about Rush Limbaugh because he has penis envy.
Uh-huh.
And so I just don't like to get into arguments with people. I figure I'll say something, you counter it, I'll say something, you counter it, and then that's just about it. There's nothing else to say.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you're not going to change somebody's mind. You're either pro-life or pro-choice. You're either black or white, or you're either whatever. You know, I'm not into changing somebody's opinion. It's like, here's my opinion, you take your opinion, that's fine. Well, I had this one guy, and we're lifelong friends, or not lifelong, but I've known him since the 70s, and I got so tired of his rhetoric that I defriended him. And then he sent me a private email, said this hurt his feelings because he could see other people doing that, but he didn't understand why I did. So I wrote him a little thing and said, I'm just tired of the negativity and the arguments. And so I friended him, and now he knows when to jump in and when not to. You know, because I just don't like to be pulled into these never-ending arguments, you know?
Sure. Well, you're a lover, not a fighter.
Well, I like to fight while I'm making love. You know, it's a different thing altogether, man. And I like my action a little bit more stimulating.
Yeah, they call that sadism.
Right.
Generally,
I like
what
spurs
it's
on the boots. I like the go-go boots, but I want spurs on them. That's right. That jingle, jangle, jingle.
That's right. Yeah, and you call me Lone Ranger. That's
well, I'm a cowboy.
Yeah,
I'm a
exactly.
steel horse I ride, which sounds like actually like a dildo. A steel horse.
Yeah, well, we've all heard the stories about the gear shifter thing.
Boy, haven't we? Some of us have done more than heard about it. We've actually, you know, perpetuated it.
Well, I can't. Jeez.
You know, somebody put Spanish fly in my drink. Next thing I know, whoa, where is the gear shift? Oh, I'm sitting on it.
Right. God. That's got to be that. You know, I think that's the first urban myth I ever heard.
Really?
I think it was.
The one about the guy's making out with his girlfriend, hearing a drip, and then he goes outside and there's a head, you know, hanging from the tree.
No, I'm pretty sure the woman on the gear shift was the first urban myth I ever heard.
Well, I know I kept asking, where can I get some of this stuff?
Yeah. I actually saw Spanish Fly mentioned, because I haven't heard that term in forever, right?
Yeah.
And it was on, like, Bones or Body of Proof or one of these shows, and somebody was using... Oh, I think it was House. It was on House. Shannon was watching an episode of House, and somebody was using it to poison someone else.
Well, you know what? We thought Spanish Fly was this thing that got women, you know, hot.
Yeah.
And now we realize all it is just a credit card. So, you know, now we don't have to go out looking for Spanish Fly. It's just like, you know, here's my Visa.
There you go. It's right. Here's buy what you want. And
that's
I think that works. Now, All right, so you you really do have a passion for music, but you also have the equal passion for comedy. How have you ever like partitioned it off to make them both work? Because dude, you do manage to keep both of them going pretty good.
Well, I mean, I do some music in my act, as you know, but I'm kind of up in my game as far as the people I'm talking to about music and or trying to do things with music, because I'm interested in doing projects, and this thing that I may have an offer to do some music for a documentary for an old friend of mine, Doc Pomus. They're doing a documentary on him, and I used to stay at his place. He's the guy that wrote Viva Las Vegas and Little Sister and a bunch of Elvis stuff, and you know, I had tons of stories about him, and then it's not a go yet, and I don't know how long it's going to take for this thing to come to fruition, but I get offered to do situations like when I did the little part with Jeff Bridges and Crazy Heart, and you know, things come my way from time to time, and I don't really put myself out there trying to get it done, and I guess because I've everything I've ever achieved in my life, whatever that was, any kind of things I measure as success or anything interesting, seem like I tripped over by accident, because if I work my ass off and really push, nothing happens. But just when I just go, well, I throw it out to the universe, and then sometimes the universe goes, yeah, we can use you on this.
Yeah.
And it's an accident almost that it happens.
Well, and you know, as you talk about that and working hard and everybody, everything, I will tell the folks listening, I honestly don't know anybody personally that works harder in the business than you do. I mean, you go far beyond anyone else that I've ever met inside comedy. So, but on the other hand, I'm wondering about this, and it just came to my mind where you're talking about your friend. When you go back to Atlanta, as hard as you work and as many different places you play, Atlanta, where you live, is not a place where you generally perform.
Right.
Right? And I don't want to get into that or why that is or anything else, but I'm wondering if you, when you come home, you already know you're not going to be doing comedy. You start, I know you focus on doing writing and that kind of stuff, but does that allow you to shift into doing a little bit more music because, you know, the comic pressure, so to speak, gets a chance to release when you're there? And do you think it would be different if you, when you came home to Atlanta, that you worked every place? You know what I mean?
Right. Well, yeah, yeah. A large percentage of my friends here are musicians. They're guys I've played in bands with for years. And some of them, you know, are on tour with major artists. And some of them are, you know, just here doing small clubs or, you know, touring the South doing small clubs. And I hang out with those guys. We all have the same sensibilities and sense of humor. If I were doing stand-up, and I do actually do small theaters in Atlanta.
You do, and you've had success with them, but you know what I mean. Like, you come home, and it's like, well, I can do so-and-so on Tuesday night, and then the improv wants me to do on a Wednesday night, and, you know, I'm filling in for some guy on a Friday. You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
Lots and lots of local work.
Yeah, yeah. I've never done that here, of course, and the fact that I don't does give me more time to do other things. The last couple of weeks I've been off because I didn't really concentrate on trying to work it. I had other things I wanted to do, and now I'm getting stir crazy. I have to be out there, man. And it's not even about the money. We all have to make a living. You can make a living in a billion ways, but I have to be out there. I have to be doing something. In fact, tonight, after I do this podcast with you, I'm going to a club just to watch some open mic guys. I might get up and do 10 or 15. I've been writing an awful lot, and so I need to kind of get on stage, you know?
Well, nice. So there are places that you can work, of course, in Atlanta. Do you like doing open mic still, or would you rather just do regular work?
Do regular work, but at the same time, I'm starting to do some open mics short time just because I'm trying to work in a lot of the new material.
Okay, well, that makes sense. I mean, where, you know, I haven't been doing anything other than long format sets, you know, 30 minutes plus for so long that going in to do something at open mic is actually feels a little awkward.
Are you
having that?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. It's cause it's out of your comfort zone, and I'm all about that. You know, get out of the comfort zone.
Well, yeah, I've never really actually personally seen you be comfortable. You hop around like a Mexican jumping bean. You're always moving. Dude, you are always moving. If you aren't moving, your hand is moving.
Well, I'm a hyper guy.
I know you are. I'm not saying that in a bad way, but I mean, that's just you. You burn off energy like a hummingbird.
Well, it kills me, Vilmos, because I'm twice as old as a lot of the guys who have featured for me.
Yeah.
And to see them be as lazy and complacent about what they do and not excited, I'm excited. I get on stage, I'm excited. I have a good time. It's still a passion for me.
Sure.
You know, and I still enjoy writing. I still enjoy getting on stage. I don't enjoy talking to people I have to talk to book things. I've never had a manager, you know, but so I do it myself. I'm a little bit of a control guy.
Yeah.
But you know, I have that energy because I have that passion. You know, you won't find very many people that are just dragging ass in life that don't have a passion. I mean, that's people who have a passion aren't going to be dragging ass, is my point, I guess.
Sure, I totally get it. And so I don't know. I don't think I've ever asked you this, but do you ever see getting to a fork in the road, or do you ever see a point where you would be presented where you had to pick one or the other, music or comedy?
At this point, I'm just trying to figure out music, comedy, or a tall building with a scope.
So do you think you could choose?
Between music or comedy?
I'll cast the scope out because I already know you can do the scope. I'm not count that one.
You've read my bio.
Exactly.
You've gone into the government files.
Yeah, I already know. You've got the tower picked out. I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think you could ever choose?
To do one or the other?
Yeah, and give one up?
Well, of course, I'll never have to, but in this theory of having to, I think one will creep into the other. Even when I was doing just music, I was still doing stand-up. I mean, with my bands and stuff, it was like Zappa. I mean, it was exactly like that. So now that I'm doing stand-up, I've got some music in it. And I think the music affects my comedy less than my comedy affects my music.
Sure.
But my last two CDs, not my last two, but out of the last three I have done, I've got 11. Out of the last three I've done, two of them were music CDs, and one of them was a double CD. So, I mean, I write a lot of music.
Now, when was the last comedy CD put out?
Last comedy CD was 2005, and I've got two CDs worth of material now ready to go.
Are you going to put one out soon?
Yeah, I think so. It's a matter of economics. It used to be a matter of economics and time, and now that I've got time, then the economics is even worse.
Sure.
Because that means I'm not working.
Well, I know, yeah. Well, yeah, so let's talk about something that you do that I've always admired. Daryl, folks, for you listening, Daryl is the kind of guy that doesn't mind putting himself out there, and he doesn't mind doing different kinds of venues. So one of the things he did before it became, I think you were doing it, dude, before it became real fashionable, was he was booking his own tours. He was finding non-traditional comedy venues, and he was putting everything together, and he was presenting a product to these people, which they were buying, and you were going out and having great successes, and you were having good weeks, and comedy was good, the people were enjoying it, it was growing your fan base, and then if I don't mind, or if you don't mind my being a little critical, I think you made one large mistake,
which was
inviting me out on one of the tours, because I seem to be comedy death.
Well, yeah, but you gave birth to new hope. See, I have several different, I've always got a plan, I've always got a vision, if you will, and I'm hoping you will. I have a vision of future comedy. I'm about to open or embark on doing a chain of tragedy clubs.
Tragedy clubs?
Yes.
I like it.
Where people go up and they do the saddest, horrible stories. In other words, I was working on a bit where the closing bit is, and my mom looked up and said, "I hope I've done a good job raising you kids." And she sucked in her last breath. You guys have been wonderful. Are you ready for your next performer? You see? Tragedy.
I like it. I like it. I thought you were going to go a different way with that.
See, I'm always going. You say potato, I say tomato.
Exactly.
So,
I thought you're. I know I would go a different way with it.
But well,
that's,
sure you would. Sure
that's
you
just
would.
Me.
That's why you were going in front of me.
It was would be brutal.
That's why you were planning on going in front
well,
of me.
Well, I was saying, yeah.
You didn't have to.
It was.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah, we got to talk about it. Look, I'm going to say this before I'm going to put out the disclaimer, all right?
Yeah.
I honestly do not blame anything that happened this week on Darryl Rhodes. I mean, he did everything he was supposed to do. He presented a product. He gave an accurate description of the product. He helped them with promotion in that he gave them tickets and flyers and posters. He followed up with them to make sure that everything was okay. Really, you did everything.
Well,
did
I always
everything
do everything
right.
I'm supposed to. I show up. I don't have a problem. I do the radio interviews. But, you know, if there's a club, which I won't mention, that I do and I've done for years, and I've steadily watched this club get worse and worse and worse, and every time I go to the club, there's one less thing that I have to do for them. Doing radio interviews. It used to be 5 or 6 radio interviews or showing up live interviews and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And I watched it go down, down, down. The last time I was there, not that long ago, very small crowds and no interviews. And it's just stupid. And the week that we didn't work together, that we were booked for 5 nights, we ended up doing one show. It's actually, you know, it may be the way of the future, non-comedy or non-comedy shows. You book them, you show up, they pay you, you don't play. You don't do a show.
Yeah, and I kind of want to go through the first, like maybe the first night, because I had a whole idea of what it was going to be like, you know, based on what you told me before. And I kind of want to tell you what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And then I kind of want to get how you were feeling the whole time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, all right. So, folks, Darryl has done this tour before. He's hooked up all these places before. He had been there before and had really great success. And I'm not going to get into the monetary or, you know, whatever. But basically, if I remember what everything he told me, these places were jam-packed, just about every one of them, right?
If not jam-packed, at least enthusiastic crowd.
Yeah, and they were all good, and you went through, and they were all great shows.
Right.
Right. So I told him when he was telling me about that, I was like, geez, that sounds great. If you ever come up with that opportunity again, I would love to go. So fast forward a year later, and he calls me and says, listen, I'm doing that thing again. I can fit you in if you want to go. And I said, great, I want to go. Because it sounded fantastic. I just want the same, you know, I want to take a chance to see how this works. So at the first night, I pick up Darryl at an airport. I'm not even giving him the region of the country, Darryl. I pick Darryl up at the airport. We go out to the first venue, and he tells me the show's at 11 o'clock at night, which I thought was kind of late. I'm not going to lie to you. But I thought, well, if he had good luck last time, he's going to have good luck this time. And we got into town, and we got to the place. And that guy, when we got in there, he basically told us, well, it doesn't look good.
Uh-huh.
And I was getting a little nervous. I'm not going to lie to you. I was a little nervous at that point. And when we went back to the place we were staying at, which was really a nice little hotel, I was a little conflicted because I wasn't sure how things were going to go. And then so we waited. We went out and had a nice dinner. Darryl found out that you can screw up a grilled cheese sandwich.
Oh, yeah. Screwed up it was.
It's not. I thought it would take a lot to do it, but apparently I was wrong. They didn't do well. So anyway,
they didn't bless it is what they did.
Is that what it was?
They just threw it on the grill and didn't bless it.
Oh, poor people. So we get to the show at, We set our stuff up. We get to the show at, what, 10:15 or so?
Probably, yeah, early.
And there were two people in the bar.
Yeah.
Two.
Yeah.
And I'm going to kind of let it go here. At that point, I didn't think anyone was going to show up. Did you have hope at that point?
Well, starting that late, you know, on a weeknight was kind of stupid.
Yeah.
But I figured the guy knows his town, and last time we started earlier,
uh-huh.
I'm not sure why he started so late. I think his memory and mine were different. Last time, I think the show started at 9, and I think he thought that people were coming in late, and we started late, but we didn't start at 11:30 or whenever he was setting it up to do, or 11 o'clock, I think. But anyway, I was sitting there with you, and we were kind of hanging, and I kind of figured, yeah, this isn't going to happen.
So you knew, you kind of figured early on, too, that it wasn't going to happen.
Right.
But you kept a brave face.
Well, you have to, you know. I mean, you know, and the guy wasn't concerned. I mean, he paid us, you know. But, you know, as an entertainer, it's like, well, yeah, I have to get paid, but I need to work.
Well, I totally agree. And what I want to know is at what point did you start actively rooting against the show? In other words, I think about 20 minutes out, 20 minutes before 11,
yeah.
I literally was hoping no one would come in because I didn't want to do a show for four people.
Well, exactly. You don't want to, although I've had fun with small crowds, but I didn't feel like having that kind of fun that night.
Well, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So was there a point where you were actively rooting against the show?
I can't really say that, you know, or at least I don't want to hear myself say it. But I think the reality is you were hoping not to do a show for a handful of people. Let me just say that.
That's what I was hoping for. You know what? And I'm not going to lie to you. It felt the equivalent of dirty, you know, after hooking up with a girl, you know, you're never going to see again, you know?
Oh, boy, yeah, I can relate to that.
Well, I can't. It's never happened but yeah. once. So, but it felt
well,
like,
that's
it felt
because
dirty.
It wasn't really a girl with you. You know, you and Chaz, I mean, I shouldn't say that in public, but you know.
He's a good kisser. Anyway. But I really was. It really felt like I was going against something that I really believed in. But inside, in my head, I didn't want to do a show for three people.
Yeah, well, nobody really does.
No, I know. So then this guy is, you're right. This guy didn't even look at you and go, hey, man. He just pulled out his wallet, so to speak, and made the pay. And then I felt bad taking the money.
Yeah, now that's where you and I will part ways.
You didn't feel bad taking the money?
No, I made the phone call. I set it up. I set the posters. I got everything together, sent the contracts. I did everything I could possibly do on my end because I didn't live in that town. So I did everything I could. I have the feeling that it was poor planning on his part. But the amazing thing about it, as you remember, was, well, let me know when you're coming back through, and we'll give it another shot. Because he had such success the first time, I think he might even realize that there were some things he didn't do that he could have done, you know?
So is he going to have you back again?
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm not invited because I was the bad luck, right? Have you determined
I'm
the bad luck?
I think you're the kiss of death, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of, I figure, you know, I'm totally willing to blame myself.
Oh, yeah, well, I was looking on your head for 666, and of course that's where I got the line. 12, 12, 12, twice as bad.
So, all right, so we get paid the first night, and are you still at this point, are you feeling good about the tour? Or has this put a black mark on it for you?
Well, the way I look at it is, hey, we went in, we hung out, we ate a lot of popcorn, I drank a lot of club soda, went back to the room, I slept, got up next morning, thought, okay, today's a different day, it's going to be different.
Right. So we go 2 hours away, mm-hmm. and we find the next place.
Yeah, they feed us, man.
And the food was fantastic. The food was good. They do know how to make a grilled cheese sandwich.
Yeah, oh, yeah, they kick ass.
So far, that's, if you guys are keeping track, that's all Daryl has eaten, is grilled cheese sandwiches.
On P90X, losing weight, getting in shape, eating cheese sandwiches on the road.
Cheese sandwiches. And in fact, for his lunch he was having, you went and bought a block of cheese.
Block of cheese and you were eating a baguette.
And a baguette. And he would eat can I tell him this? I don't see it as a bad thing. I think it's...
No, I was trying to find a banner to put on the side of the car. The blocking it up for a week tour.
He would take a bite of the bread and then a bite of the cheese.
Yeah. So, yeah, because it didn't have enough room to make a sandwich.
Well, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So... he's roughing it. As a vegetarian, he's roughing it when he's not any place he can cook. And when you're in towns where they put sausage in the cherry pie.
Listen, if they find out you're a vegetarian, your water's got beef in it.
Well, exactly. They're like, they feel like there's some need to convert you back to being one of the herd, I guess we'd use
that's right.
in this right. Instance. But anyway, all right, so we get to the next town, and really... really nice people, too, in all fairness. Very nice people. And we get there during the day, and it's a really nice place. They feed us, and you have a nice conversation with the gal that owns and operates the place. And I thought, you know what? This is going to be cool because they got a nice stage. Excuse me. Wow. I'm boring myself again.
Well, we had a good rapport, too. I mean, she was nice, and, you know.
Yeah.
I ask her, what kind of crowd do you think? Well, we're hoping we get a good crowd. It's like, well, yeah, I'm hoping I'll spread wings.
Well, but hoping didn't raise any red flag for me.
No, because I'd gotten used to that with Dusty Springfield when she said wishing and a hoping and planning and scheming.
Yeah. You know, I think people use that as a kind of a euphemism for, yeah, we got it, but we're hoping for great things anyway.
God like, willing, creek don't rise. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, that kind of thing. So we go back, and we got some free time because it was a short drive, so we rest up a little bit, and then we go back about an hour before the show's going to start, and nobody is there, nobody but her family.
Yeah, there were some people at the bar, but I think they were all had her last name.
Well, and they weren't even there to see the show. They were there just there to eat, right?
They were there for grilled cheese. Because word had gotten out at that point.
Word had gotten out that the grilled cheese was pretty good, that she put a little extra butter on the
chicken
bread before
ass.
She fried
Hell
it.
Hell yeah. Get all the pickles you can eat.
That's exactly right.
Hell yeah.
So now it gets close to showtime, and really, they're very nice people, and... We're conversing with her and her son and his son, right?
Right.
And they're all nice, and he's showing us this huge truck he used to drive for Jägermeister, and it was really kind of interesting and all that. But the thing that's missing is no audience is coming in.
Right, right.
And it's just weirded me out now because this is two nights in a row. And I'm not going to lie to you. I was rooting against the show again because I got worried again.
See, that speaks to your lack of commitment.
It does, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
What's wrong with me, Daryl? Why couldn't I have faith?
Well, you know, theologians have wondered this for many ages. And I can't help you with that problem, you know, because of the way you were raised.
Uh-huh.
But I can only say that I have a fire that burns within me.
Well, how come that fire didn't grab one of those cheese boards and get out there on the highway?
Well, that highway, remember, there was nobody going down that highway. We're in the sticks.
Boy, I totally know there was no one going down the highway because they sure didn't stop. But we did get to meet a guy with a cool bicycle.
That's right. That's right. He was riding from Washington State or Oregon. Was he from Oregon?
No, he was from one of the coasts. Yeah. I wanted to say San Francisco, but you're probably right with the Oregon.
Yeah.
Did he ever contact you?
No.
Okay.
Well, I didn't expect him to. He's like a club owner.
Oh yeah, that's true. So we wait till showtime. We wait beyond showtime. Nobody shows up. So now we're two nights in, been paid for both nights.
Right.
And no shows yet. And I was starting at this point, then jokingly, and I don't know how jokingly it was. Isn't this when I told you, now I'm hoping we don't have any shows?
Yeah, at that time it became a running joke, you know.
Did you consider that mean? Was I being too mean?
No, I think you were keeping it real.
I was trying to lighten the load, but I mean,
yeah. Well, a load is exactly how I would describe it.
It was tough. Yeah. It was tough.
Yeah.
And again, I want to point out that this was really no fault of your own. I mean, you've got nothing to feel guilty about here, and you know, I don't think you could have done anything different beyond coming out here, and you know, doing your own promotions in town by yourself. I mean, that's the only thing you could have also done. And then that's not possible, practical or anything. You can't do that.
Well, you know, there's a reason why this is sort of a roundabout way of saying what I'm making a statement here, but there's a reason why when you make record deals, you used to get an advance, because when people put an advance out, they have a commitment and they work hard to get that money back.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing with clubs. If they don't put themselves out there and do advertising and really work hard, you know, that's why, you know, you usually get an advance, which or a deposit when you book it. I didn't on that week because I'd worked with all those people.
Yeah.
So I didn't worry so much about being screwed over, although one of them did want to switch to stop the show on the Saturday night. But anyway, so you think if they go out and put stuff in the paper and print out and do that, it's a commitment, and they're really going to work hard. If you know, once you sign an agreement, it's a commitment. But it didn't seem that was the case with these people. It's like, although the Wednesday night, the one you just described, she actually did have radio ads, or she said she did. I didn't hear them.
Yeah. Well, I saw in the newspaper that she had put ads in the paper.
Right. So you would think that would mean something.
Sure, especially in a town in an area that small.
Right, right.
You know, so I was really surprised, and honestly, in all fairness, I was true, pretty close to stunned that would happen 2 days in a row.
Right.
So by now we're up to Thursday, and honestly, I was making fun, but I was getting a little concerned that nothing was going to work out. But fortunately for us, we did make it to a place where we actually had a show. And I will say this, it was certainly unique. It was the only time I've ever been in a combination convenience store, gas station, liquor store, bar, bait shop, and restaurant.
That's right.
I mean, really, they did I'm surprised that they didn't have somebody asking you if you wanted a happy ending after you had your gas pumped.
Yes.
I mean, they did everything at that place. I mean, I've never, ever heard of anything like that. And this was the one, and this is why we had a show, I think, honestly, in all fairness, because this was the first time at this place. Right?
Well, yeah, it was the first time. And they had a, wasn't a large crowd, but it was a decent crowd.
I thought it was a good crowd.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't really crazy about how I did. I didn't feel like I did well. In fairness,
I don't think that you did bad or good. I thought it was that kind of show. It was like it's like you went there, you did a show, people responded, you got paid, you ate cheese sandwiches and left.
Yeah, they had good food there too.
Yeah,
I'll give them that.
They had good food. Ass.
Yeah, they had good food, and the crowd really wasn't a bad crowd. But I think they didn't know what they were supposed to do with comedy.
Well,
I think
it's almost like a crowd that had never gone to a comedy show before. It's sort of. You know, they weren't this bad, but, you know, have you ever done a show where you looked at the crowd and went, look, if you guys ever get a chance to hang out together and go to a show, don't.
Oh, boy. Yes, I have.
You know, I think every comic has gone through that. No, they weren't bad. I mean, they were real nice people.
Right, but it was like they felt like they needed to look at you and go, smile. They didn't even feel the need to laugh in a sense. They kind of smiled. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
Because they didn't know you're supposed to laugh out loud.
Well, they were just really close to saying, is it in yet?
All right, so that was our first show and then that we actually did, which was good. And then we drove clear to the other side of the state the next day and went to a place that you'd been in. And I will give them this distinction. This is everything, you know, the room was okay and all that stuff was good. And when I went in to eat, this is the first place I've ever worked in all the years that I've been doing comedy that charged me for a soda off the gun.
Well, I think that at that point they figured they better get the money wherever they can.
I know. I was really surprised when they did that. Because they had a nice banquet hall in the back.
Yep.
That would have been a great place for a show. Not even one person showed up.
Right.
And so I totally believe that he just didn't promote that at all.
I mean, he looked like he had butcher paper where he had a crayon and went, comedy show tonight, second on the side of the building.
Yeah, it was something. So, all right, so that was the week. And it was a tough one. You know, I won't lie. At any point in time, did you start hating me, or have you saved that till now?
Hate is strong. Hate's a strong word.
Yeah, yeah. That's fine. Go ahead and use it.
It was never hate. It was never an intention of hate.
Uh-huh.
I have many friends that malfunction. I have many friends that have, you know, behavior problems, you know, and some of them wear, you know, certain kinds of garments that allow them to have problems.
Uh-huh.
So I think we were fine. I just remember you saying, listen, man, next time you do this, you might want to do it with somebody younger, because you had a hard time driving at night.
I did. I can't drive overnight anymore.
Yeah, I know.
I can't. I can't do it. I mean, I used to be able to sleep in my car, but since I got in the accident, I can't sleep like that anymore.
Well, there's going to be a lot more accidents in your future is all I'm saying.
Oh, God. See, there you go, attacking me. Now we're back to where it was when we were out there, folks. He attacked me on a regular basis. He called me Larry Lee. Once.
Oh, Jesus.
Don't think I didn't forget that.
Well, that's all right. That's
I tried
right.
to put it out of my mind. But
Larry Lee looks what like what movie producer?
I don't know. Who does he? Oh, does he look like George Lucas?
George Lucas,
is that who you're saying?
Yeah, George Lucas.
I don't look like George Lucas.
No, Larry Lee does.
Yes, he does.
No, you look a little bit like the guy from Plan 9 in Outer Space. used to be the wrestler. What's his name?
Used to be a wrestler?
Yeah, he used to be a wrestler.
I don't know. You're not talking about like a fame. Like, did he do anything beyond wrestling?
Well, he was in Plan 9 of Outer Space.
I wouldn't know because I never followed wrestling. Plan 9, is that what you call it?
You remember that? You remember that movie, right?
No, I've never seen it.
Oh, it's the worst.
Really?
Yes.
So now you're attaching me with the worst movie of all time.
I can't help it. I have to go with what's real.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, see, here's the thing. I thought Daryl was my friend, folks. But now I find that he's really just attacking me. That's what he's doing.
Well, in a minute, I'm going to tell you who was in Plan 9 Outer Space.
I'm looking him up, too. I may make it there before you. From 1959, folks. Who was the wrestler? Duke Moore?
No.
Tor Johnson?
Nope.
What was the name of the character?
Jesus, I don't see his name.
Ghoul Man. Bela Lugosi was in this?
Tor Johnson.
How would I know that?
Well, you wouldn't. That's why I'm telling you. Tor Johnson used to be a professional wrestler. He's the big, ball-headed guy. He played the inspector.
There is no way I would have known that.
Well, yeah, you're not supposed to.
Oh, I see. So we're going for the reference that...
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm the Dennis Miller of non-comedy.
I'm sorry.
He's already done that. Tor Johnson, man. You know, Dennis Miller is really right-wing now. Have you listened to him?
Yeah, I have listened to him. But I have heard that he switched sides. I mean, he's on O'Reilly's show all the time.
I don't know if he switched. I don't know what he was before.
Well, I mean, didn't people think he was liberal before?
I don't know. But now it's like I know his trade thing is references. I know that's his deal.
Obscure, basically. Obscured language type things, too. I mean, he'll use big words where most people wouldn't need them.
Yeah, and you know, he hasn't made me laugh since never, but I know he's a smart guy, and he likes to let people know how smart he is. But,
yeah.
In his obscure reference. But he just never hit me, man. Never got me. I know he's a smart guy, and I know that a lot of people really like him. And it was really funny working with people who are big Dennis Miller fans, and you can tell, like Mitch Hedberg. When I worked with him, and after he died, you had all these Mitch Hedberg Juniors come out.
Yeah.
And Dane Cooks and then Dennis Miller's. And it's just amusing and amazing to watch them because they're trying to copy a guy that still, to me, is not that funny.
Well, you know, some people think he's funny. And
I know. He I know.
Did,
well,
he actually did the sports commentary, right, on Monday Night Football for a while.
Yeah, I think that was one of his downfalls.
Well, I think the big criticism against him was that he was too obscure in his references, so people kind of weren't getting what they thought they should have out of
right.
the commentary.
But, right. If he had said Earnhardt a few times, I think he would have had him.
All right. So here's the final thing. Do I ever get invited on the Darryl Rhodes tour again?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're going to do some work together again.
Oh,
hell
we are?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I didn't burn a bridge.
No,
With my poor behavior and my lack of faith that people were going
to
show up.
Here's the way to look at it. That age-old question about if a tree falls in the wood and no one's there to hear it.
Uh-huh.
Same thing about if you burn a bridge and there's nobody at the club to hear it. You see? See how that works? So I think you're good.
I would really feel bad. Honestly, if that were something that would get between us on a perfectly good friendship.
I know it wouldn't, but
you know how it is of being a comic and all. Sometimes you can take a theme a little too far to where, you know what I mean?
Too much is never enough. Anything worth doing is worth overdoing.
Well, and that's the problem. And it makes it worse. Here's the other thing. I was specifically thinking, now here I sound like Mark Maron. Do I have a problem with you? When I was kind of making fun of the, we're going to do a whole week of no shows, you know?
Yeah.
Because to me, I thought that was kind of humorous. And because I know you so well, I would be inclined to go a little farther than with somebody that I didn't know at all.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
Because at least my hope is that you understand it's just my sense of humor. And that, you know, you get that I'm not trying to be mean. Whereas somebody you don't know, they have no idea what your intentions are. But
right.
even so, with a friend, you can still hit it a little too hard and touch a raw nerve, which is not a good thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think everybody's capable of having those raw nerves.
Yeah, so I just never wanted to go to that place. But I'll tell you what, you did give me, in all fairness, a week that I will never forget, as far as that goes.
Usually it's a woman that says that, but I'll take what I can get.
Ah, well, I will say this. If I ever get the chance to do the same for you, I will.
Well, I started to say thank you. I thought, well, what does he mean by that?
No, I mean, if I could ever put together a tour and take you on it, I would gladly do that.
Well, thank you.
Any day. And I'd still make you close because I ain't following you.
Well.
Not with all that music and those hand puppets.
Yeah,
you still got the hand puppets, right?
No, well, sock puppets, yeah.
Sock puppets.
usually I do a combo sock puppet, and then a
blow-up doll.
Puppet.
Isn't a blow-up doll still the closer?
Yeah, poppet puppet. I play pocket pool with Poppet Puppet.
Well, I'll tell you what, Daryl, you're gonna have a great week in Tucson. You've always done well there, right?
Yeah, yeah, I have, I get rewarded for my efforts.
I know you do, and it's a good thing, is what I'm saying. It's a good club. You do well there. It's a great place to see you there too, because, you know, they've got all the stuff that's important for you to have a good show. They got a good sound system. They got a well lighted stage. They got a great wait staff. So, you know, if anybody's listening, in the Tucson area, or you got friends down there, you really need to send them in, or you need to go in and see Daryl when he's there, because he's going to be at Laughs. From on the 16th and 17th of September. I was going to say December there for a minute. But it's September, folks. September, it's this week. You'll be hearing this on Thursday. The very next day is the 16th. And you go down Friday and Saturday nights. That's shows at 8 and 10:30. And you can get your tickets online at laughstucson.com. If you're old-fashioned, You can pick up the phone and call him. It's 520-323-8669. See how I did that slow, Daryl?
You did well, and with your following, I think that's probably a good way to go.
I'm telling you what, I've been saying the number too fast.
And well, you know what? That club, in all fairness and everything else, is kicking ass in a time when a lot of people are having a hard time. So the owner, Gary, has really stepped up his game. He's doing something right. He was always had that magic touch about with clubs.
No, he's always done really well. And, you know, people can say, you know, the only time you ever hear anybody say anything bad about a club owner or a booker is when they're not working for him.
Well, of course.
And I'm not saying that as like it seems like that's when the sour grapes, if you got them, that's when it seems like people really seem to air them out. So, I don't know. It's just not a, I don't know, Gary, like him or not. And honestly, I don't know a lot of guys that hate him, you know?
No,
I don't think he's got that, like, there are guys in the business that have horrible followings, like people that wish them death. You know what I mean? He's not one of those guys.
He's one of those guys, whatever he says, you don't have to guess where he's at.
You know exactly where you're at with him.
Yeah,
I've always appreciated
that. This is what I can
that.
Do, and this is what I promise, and, you know, and that's, you either take it or not, and if you take it, don't bitch about it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was one of his big things back in the day with the pay.
Yeah.
And by the way, folks, he was paying market rate for the Southwest. You know, he wasn't paying a ton more. He wasn't paying a ton less. He was paying what everybody else paid. And there were guys that would take the pay and then sit there the whole week and bitch about it.
Well,
and that always bothered me, because if you took the pay and you knew what it was up front, you really don't have a right to complain.
Well, another way that I think a lot of people should really think about, I learned this from my dad, and I've heard about it, this attitude, for some time. When you're working for somebody, let's just say you have a family, and you're working for somebody for that money, and maybe it's not as much as you'd like to have, if you agreed to work for it, it's money that you're using to feed your family. So why would you undermine or slap or cut down the person who's handing you the money when it's actually helping to provide food for your family? You know?
No, I totally agree. You know, I guess we're probably going a little too far inside here with that, and that's my fault. But, you know, I've just never understood the comics mindset where, you know, somebody tells you what the gig is, they tell you how much it is, you know, you take it, and then you sit there and bitch about it because you don't think you're getting paid enough. And
right.
They look at and they judge it based on how many people are there this week. You know, they think just because this week was packed that they should get more money, when in fact maybe last week wasn't really packed. And
well,
even if it was packed last week, and every week for the last 51 weeks since the week before, you know, the year before when you were there.
Right.
You didn't put out one penny to create that. You didn't have to get a building. You didn't have to do advertising. You didn't have to put up with employees and vendors and have a keeping a liquor license and liability and all the other things that a person who owns a club has to do.
Well, I remember Gary having a conversation with Gary, and he was talking about how a lot of comics talk about, you know, you should book me. I could pack the place out. And I thought this was beautiful. He said, well, he offered him a place. Well, okay, let's do this. If you can pack the place out, and you know you can pack the place out, let's do a door deal, and, you know, you'll be into it for this much, you know, for advertising, and, you know, you'll share all this with me. And you see how quick that I can pack that place back so up to, well, let's just do a guarantee.
Right, exactly. No, it's exactly right. I mean, and I will tell you from the same perspective, when I was involved in a club, I hate to say this, but most of the guys out there today don't have a following big enough to pack a place out.
Right, right.
You know, and that's, I mean, no disrespect to any comic for saying that. But, I mean, if you were gonna just try to promote them as a comedian and look for that audience, you'd be lucky with, I would say, even the upper, excluding the huge name guys, right? Excluding the...
Right.
Like if you were going to have Dave Attell or Jeff Dunham or whatever, one of those guys come in, they could probably pack a place out. But your road comic, even a guy like Jake Johansson,
yeah,
You're not going to pull more than maybe 25% of the seats filled just for him.
And it's a shame because somebody like Jake Johansson, I know he is. You know who he is. A lot of really big fans of comedy know who he is. But he's had some specials. But he's not, and God, should I say this, he's not Screech. He's not Pauly Shore. He's not somebody that even a lot of people, you know, can latch on to because they don't really know who he is.
Right.
You know? And so, of course, everybody knows it's all about marketing. And if you have a handle that people can grab onto, get her done, then, you know, you have a better likelihood of selling tickets. And that's really the bottom line. Business is about business. So, you know, it doesn't matter that I'm five times better than the guy before or after me, the week before or the week after me. If I'm not packing the club, and even if I am packing it, is it because it's me there, or is it because they had a special two for one night?
Well, and that's and you know, I hate to say this, but mostly it's the two for one night. Most of the people that come and do
it. Yeah,
there
are actually clubs where I actually do have a little bit of a following, but you know, it's not such that I can go in and go, yeah, I need to up the ticket price so I can get, you know, this much more. You know, you don't have that pull yet. You keep working for that. You keep trying to be better at what you do, and you try to learn how to do business. And, you know, anybody that thinks it's about sitting in your room writing jokes, they're only getting about a third of the story because it is about phone calls, making contacts, doing open mics, shaking a lot of hands. You know, that's what it's about.
No, it is what it's about. And, folks, you can see, like I said, you can see 30? Are you 30 years in now?
No, I'm about 23 in.
All right, well, you can see 23 years of effort just by going to Laughs. September 16th and 17th, make sure you go, 8 and 10:30. Laughs website, laughstucson.com. Phone number, area code 520-323-8669. Like I tell you guys, listen to your comedy live. That's the way it's supposed to be done. If you can't make it to see Daryl this weekend, go to a comedy club near you. Thanks for listening.